Hello and welcome yet again to another episode of the Health Happens Podcast. Mike Frosina, Chris Pickerel, how are you doing tonight, Mike?
I'm doing great. How are you doing, Chris?
Great. I'm going on a meditation retreat tomorrow. So the time you're actually listening to this, I will be sitting silently.
Awesome. Well, get all your talkies out then.
I'll get all my talkies out tonight. Yeah. I'm excited.
Good. Good. Yeah. It's a silent meditation.
It is a silent meditation retreat.
How long?
It's 6 days.
6 days. That's a long time to go without talking.
Yes, it is. I can't wait. You know, I was thinking about this because I've been reflecting. You know what one of my favorite things about it is, though, Mike?
What,
Chris? It's not making any decisions for 6 days.
Oh, okay.
And I suspect you can relate. I mean, at a certain point in your life, you make a lot of decisions every day.
Yeah, I mean, you don't have to go on a silent meditation retreat to do that.
No, but this is the thing, to not make decisions?
Yeah.
Is that true? I don't know.
Sure.
You got to turn off your email. How many questions do you get by email every
day? Yeah. No, you need a vacation. You got to get away from it all, but...
That's true. An all-inclusive retreat, which is actually very similar to a silent meditation retreat in that respect, does take care of all your needs.
That's true. Or prison.
Yeah, any institution, I guess.
You know, they're like, wake up, now it's time to eat.
Yeah, no,
Now
it's yard time. You don't know anything.
I know what I've learned on the, like, Orange is the New Black or whatever.
Right. Yard time.
Yeah.
All right. Great, Mike.
It does take the decision making out of it.
It does. That is true. Yes.
There you go.
We are talking today, Mike, about...
We're talking about genetic testing, a topic that is very interesting to me. And I suspect a lot of people listening today because it is... it's come a long way in the last few years, getting very popular, all of these different types of genetic tests, and it's really fascinating. I mean, there's no other way to put it that, you know, you're going to ask the question, why are we talking about this? Or why did I choose this topic? I chose this one today. And the answer is just, I've wanted to read more about it and learn more about it ever since, I don't know, the last 5 years or so.
Yeah, no, you're right.
And recently in the news, there was an article about... One of the, I don't think, should we name, who cares?
Yeah, go for it.
So 23andMe sold a big stake of their company to a big drunk company, GSK. Yeah. And a lot of people got really upset and they're like, oh, privacy. Oh, I didn't want my genetic data to be used for this and blah, 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 blah. And
yeah, careful there, Mike.
and really, this is, and we'll get into this a little bit, but it was sort of a... Told you so moment.
Yeah. No, we talked about this when we were prepping for the show last week, and that was exactly, I think, both of our thoughts was, what did you think was going to happen?
Mm-hmm. But we'll get into that a little bit more. And I mean, we're definitely painting it with an unfair brush at this point.
Right.
And we'll...
We don't know the details about that, but I do think we haven't decided how we'll frame it yet, but at some point, I hope maybe this year or in the early new year, we are going to do an episode related to privacy. We're going to frame it, I think, around health data privacy.
Yeah. I think we're going to make it a debate, aren't we?
Oh, yeah. We did talk about that, didn't we? Yeah. I'm going to be in favor of giving all your data to the man.
No, you're not.
No. Of course,
I'm not. You should, to challenge yourself, and I'll take the easy side.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. I mean, even in this particular instance, we can make a credible argument for drug companies having access to genetic data.
Oh, of course. Of course.
Because if you just take the names off of it, that's just data. But
at the end of the day, that's what it is.
But it's still my data, right?
It is. And we'll talk about that. I want to save that little nugget for later, but remind me to come back to that.
Well, absolutely. We can come back to it, or we can wait for our overall episode where we get into it. But it's certainly not irrelevant to our discussion today because... I mean, what we're talking about is genetic testing. We are talking about the sequencing of your DNA, correct?
Maybe, depending on the company.
Okay,
some companies do sequencing. Some companies do like light genomics.
Okay. You'll take us through some of those details, I think. But I wanted to get into what you said first. Why are we talking about it? I was out last night, and I was at a pub. Some nachos, Sneaky D's, actually. Nice. Haven't been there in a while.
Hashtag Sneaky D's.
It's a good spot. So I live pretty close to it. And there was a commercial, and it was actually a very flashy commercial, and I didn't even know what it was for, but it caught my eye. And at the end, it was for 23andMe, and it was, you know, showing, like, it showed this person doing all these things appropriate to their ancestral culture or based on their genetic assessment, which was kind of a weird, like, I watched the commercial, I was like, I feel like there's probably some offensiveness in some of this, but obviously it's working for them because people are really into it.
People are curious.
There it is right there. Because who isn't curious?
Yeah, everybody is a little right. bit. I mean, right, they unlocked the genetic code right. like less than 20 years ago. This is still maybe the greatest scientific achievement in the last, I don't know, several hundred years. Like it's huge.
It is.
Unlocking the code. And now we want to make it available to the masses because that's something that we were told along the way is, oh yeah, you know, scientists are going to use it and they're going to do all these things, but it's not like the average person is going to be able to find their own genetic code. And,
well, now you can.
Now you can, exactly. Yeah. So like it's one of those, the future is now sort of moments.
Well,
and you say, wow, for like less than $200, you can tell me what my genetics says about me. And that's really cool. And that's why you're curious.
Yeah. I mean, the future is now. It's kind of like the future is now in terms of we can see these things for an affordable, comparatively, of course, price. But what I want, one of the things I really want to talk about today is the future isn't now. It's like this is just the tiniest scrap of what we're going to be able to do with this information. We're basically at the entertainment only phase.
Yeah,
I know. We'll go into it. Okay. But I wanted to mention that specifically as well because on one of the websites, after you get through several pushes to purchase and, you know, how easy it is and, like, looking at reports, you do eventually get to the disclaimer. And the disclaimer really, it looks exactly like a disclaimer that starts with saying, for entertainment purposes only, and then goes on to say, it just skips that phrase, but everything else is to say, there's no medical information conveyed, don't construe this as being medically relevant. Of course, we know that's legal speak.
It's a very much a CYA type of situation where they just don't want to get sued. But there is a lot of, depending on the company and what exactly they're pushing, some are coming right out and saying this is for medical purposes.
Yeah.
Right? And some of it's lighter. And so we'll get into the differences between the tests, but you can expect to pay a big difference.
Oh, yeah. I think you looked into this, but if I'm not mistaken, the price escalates very quickly.
Yeah, like logarithmically.
Yes. That's what I thought. Yeah. From like, yeah, I could probably afford this to nope. Why would I do this?
Yeah, like that's a half a year salary almost, right?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly, right? Some of them looked like they were that expensive. So I want to, I mean, it's kind of like, and this is where there's so much discussion. I don't even know. I don't think we quite know. There's so many different portals we can go into today. I don't know that we're even sure which one we'll go into.
Yeah, I almost want to make this a two or three parter. There's just we're not going to. No. But there's so much information. You're right. How do we do it justice and still talk about the interesting parts?
Well, I agree with you. I think we can talk about the interesting bits because I think right now that's mostly what we have, our interesting bits. The different portals that I think of is what's coming next.
Yeah.
And we'll get into that. Mike, though, tell me, like, just take me through some background. What did you learn about this when you're doing some research?
I learned there's a lot more to it than what you see on TV. What you see on TV is the stuff that's aimed towards the masses, right? Yeah. I mean, you got
low-hanging fruit.
Totally. We already named 23andMe, and there's, you know, the other big one is Ancestry DNA, and there's a couple of others that are, as you sort of mentioned, mostly for entertainment purposes only, and they're going to trace your family tree and tell you where your ancestors came from and what makes up your lineage, essentially. And you can learn some fun stuff. Like they have fun. Really like cutesy little genes. Like there's a gene for, you know, the
dimples.
Dimples, sure.
A winning smile?
I don't think so. But people who like sneeze every time they look up the sun. That is, there's like a gene for that. Okay, so, right, but not everybody gets that. And, you know, there's other cutesy little things like that. Eye color and like you're 80% likely to have brown eyes is what they're going to tell you. And, and it's like, well, I have brown eyes. That's amazing. Right? Yeah. And that's the cute sort of stuff. But I think what they're... what we're going to be talking about today is a step beyond that. So I don't want to talk too much about that, but there is some interest and some people just want that. And that's kind of cool too. And those are like the bare bones tests. I think you probably get for like as cheap as $100.
The lowest I saw was, I think it was 129 was Ancestry only.
Okay.
And you're right. You can't really do much with that data. Here's what I want to ask you. Mm-hmm. And I don't know the answer to this. How, in what you looked up, in your opinion, how accurate is that information? Keeping in mind it's information we can never totally verify.
So I guess there's two answers to this. How accurate are the results? The results are very accurate in terms of what they're analyzing. Like it's verifiable, it's validated, it's reproducible. These are done by high quality labs.
Yes.
That you can rely that the information's yes. coming back is accurate.
I believe that accuracy, I did not doubt.
Yes. But was that really your question?
No, that wasn't my question. My question is, when I look at my ancestry chart, how likely is it really true?
So the answer to that, and that was part two of this, is it's accurate. It's as accurate as we're possible to give right now.
Yeah.
Because you just need more data for some areas, right? Like if they're talking about a remote area of the world and they're saying, well, you have, 0.2% of your lineage is from the, likely that's not very accurate just because they don't have enough data from those regions to really understand the genetics from those areas. But they do understand European heritage very well, and South American, Latin American, Asian, African, the big areas. But I actually heard, I was listening to an interview of the CEO of 23andMe, and she was talking about this exact question. And she was saying, it's sort of like Google Maps was back when they first started. It was sort of like fuzzy. And
In some places.
Yeah, exactly. But now that they have, satellite images and just more and more data, and they got those cars driving around and, street view and all, they can really pinpoint it. As you get more and more data points to the DNA pool, they're going to be able to hone in on things a lot more accurately over time. So depending on when you got your report, let's say you got your report 5 years ago, if they did the exact same ancestry test, you might get slightly different results. Not because it's any less accurate. Yeah. It's the same stuff. It's just that now they have more information to collate to better give you an answer.
Yeah.
So it's as accurate as it can be right now. Now, that being said, like even that one company has over 2 million data points right now. Yeah. So it's quite a bit.
Yeah, that was the impression that I got, was that we're dealing with accurate scientific analysis for a reasonably broad set of data.
Yeah, and you know what this is really at the end of it? This is crowdsourcing data.
Yeah, I know. I'm aware of that, which I do think is cool.
It's a great way to do it, right? Like people are paying you to give them your data.
Yeah.
And then you can basically put data sets and put research together.
Here maybe we want to get into some of this, but it's kind of like it's a researcher's dream, right? Normally you have to coerce people into providing a sample, and in this case it's flowing the other way because you can provide them something, if not meaningful, at least entertaining.
Yeah, and that's what a lot of these apps out there are doing right now. I use Google Maps as an example, but there's tons of them that give directions and, give weather updates and traffic updates, and they just rely on people to send in data. Yeah. So it seems like it's this amazing thing that just knows so much, but it's just a whole bunch of people who are voluntarily saying, here's a data point. Isn't that so cool? And that's what's happening with the DNA, the genetic testing, is more and more people are sending in their information. The picture gets clearer and clearer and clearer. So the picture in 5 years, 10 years, 30 years from now will be way clearer than it is today.
Do you think, or maybe I should say, how many things do you think, when people receive their information where they see something in their heritage where that tips them off to the fact that maybe one of their parents isn't actually their parent?
So, I mean, that's obviously the issue, or it's one of the issues, right? And so that's where the privacy issue comes in, right? Because then you start thinking about, who can access this information and is it tied to personal data? And most, if not all of these companies, most of them anyway, are very, very, very strongly invested in making sure that your personal data is protected.
Well, yeah.
I mean, and that was a huge question I had. Like, I'll tell you a story. My wife got some testing done recently, and she ordered a kit for her sisters and her mom and all these people.
Probably got a Groupon.
She, I don't think so. But she asked me, she's like, hey, I'm ordering a bunch of kits. Do you want one? And I said, no, I want them to have my data, right? Yeah. Like I am that kind of guy, right? And she's like, ah, what are you talking about? Blah, blah, blah. But it's not just that. It's not just my data, but it's also, okay, if they have my data and they have my wife's data, if I didn't send in my daughters, they have it, right? Like they yeah, can yeah. do that. Or even if they can't do it today, they'll be able to do yeah. it very shortly. So I just don't want that to be out there. There was actually a really interesting legal case not too long ago mm-hmm. about, I think it wasn't 23andMe, I think it was Ancestry DNA, but there was like a cold case murder where they used some guy's genetic information to bring his son forward as a suspect in really? This cold case. Yeah, yeah. And it's like, there. Obviously, this was a huge court case because the son didn't volunteer his data, but they had enough and they could draw the lines and say, oh, you were here and when this happened. So,
yeah.
And that became a legal case. Like, that's crazy. That's scary stuff to me. So, you know, but the other side of it too is that you don't have to put your name. You don't have to put anything down, exactly. right? Like I can order kits for 100 people, hand them all out, and then submit them to the company under my name, and nobody will ever know who these people are unless you just volunteer that information, which you can do. You can decide to choose those boxes off, check those boxes off. You can also choose what you want done with your data. If you want to volunteer for medical research, for drug research, for whatever, you can check those boxes as well and say, yes, I'm willing to do that. Very often too, the companies, depending on what they find in your DNA, will come to you and ask if you're willing to be involved in a certain study. Most of the time, the reason they do that is because they've identified, oh, you're high risk or you're a carrier for this particular gene. Or you actually have this disease. And a lot of those people, if they have the disease especially, will say, yes, I want to be involved in this research. Of course I do. Yeah. So it's not like they're just taking your stuff and using it for reasons you don't want it to be used for, which truly was my fear before I knew more about this. So I was glad to learn that.
Yeah. Oh, there's so many.
I know.
There's so many places to go with this. I'm going to go to this place right now. Not to sound like a conspiracy theorist, but I am going to go to this place. And we talked a little bit about this before the show, the idea of at the moment and in general moving forward, there is an incentive for non-health related companies to collect your data. Mm-hmm. And here's one of the frightening questions. Can we then start to look at that information and can we predict your behaviors? Is there a reason that Amazon wants your genetic data? Are there correlates there? People who have this set of things are more likely to buy these sets of things or engage in the behaviors that move in this direction.
Yeah, not only that, like, yes, the answer to that is yes, they can use that data. Yeah. And I'm pretty sure they are.
Yeah.
If you don't check the right boxes and you don't, you identify yourself or whatever. But see, here's the thing, because you're buying these things off of the internet, right? You're clicking around on maybe a Google browser, or you bought it off of Amazon because you can. And they now know. They have your shipping information. They have all that. So they know where the kit came from, all this stuff. So you can only hide so much. But I mean, look, in fairness, you can go to like a drugstore and buy these things now, right? And that
is that true? I didn't know that.
Pay cash, and that takes the traceability out, and give a fake name if you want.
Yep.
But yes, they can advertise to you, and like they can even take a look at what your results come back as, and they say, oh, you're high risk for heart disease. So they may start advertising healthy foods to you. They may start advertising exercise equipment and gym memberships, right? And that's
scary.
Scary
is the word.
But also, in a way, nice and useful.
No? Yeah. No, I mean, I'm excited for our debate on this topic. And I'm even excited just to wade through my own thoughts and feelings on this topic, because we flip so quickly on this one from scary to useful. We flip so quickly from personal violation of privacy to public health good.
Yeah. Yeah. It's scary that you're offering this to me, but yes, I do want that.
Yeah.
Right?
Like, yeah.
That's it.
And I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if any of us know. I mean, this is turning into one of the most pressing things for us to think about in a debate right now is how much are we giving away when we give away our data? Mm-hmm. And then we start to talk about our medical data.
Yeah.
And I don't even mean medical records. I even mean just like awareness of our patterns and behaviors and things like that. What are we really giving away?
Well, it depends on the test, and it depends on what they're actually testing for. So maybe this is a good segue into how the different there's basically two types of collection of data. There's genuine sequencing, yeah, where they actually read the code, and then there's targeted genomics where they're just looking for specific variants in, yeah, specific genes. And those are not the same thing.
No.
Right? So what you're getting back if you've done like MTHFR testing, for example.
I don't know what that is.
I think you do.
MTHFR?
Yeah. Anyway, methyl tetrahydrofolate reductase.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you know, no. I did, but I definitely didn't think that's what you were referring to. So, okay, yeah, go ahead.
So let's say you get like an MTHFR panel, because it's really popular these days. They're targeting, I don't know, 60 genes, let's say, for example. But that's all they're going to be testing. When you spit into a vial and then you mail it off.
Yeah.
So that's what you do. You get a kit. You get a, yeah, little vial. You spit into it. And it really is that simple. It's nice and cool. And then about a month later, they give you a report and they say, okay, these 60 genes, these are the variants that you carry,
yeah,
knowing that some are considered to be the normal, I'm doing air quotes right now, the normal type, and, yeah, there are known variants of these genes that you could possess that are correlated with diseases. And they're going to give you back a report and say, yeah, here's the, quote, normal ones you have, and here's the variant types. And then there are companies that will just say, forget it. We're gonna just sequence your DNA and give you back the sequence. Right. But that's not what most of these companies are doing, but they can give you that information but you're going to pay a lot more for it. Right. Like, yeah, these tests start, I think, at like $700 and one run well up into the thousands of, yeah, dollars, depending on what you're looking for. There's a company that looks at just the genes, the exons,
yeah,
themselves, and gets rid of all that, again, quote, junk DNA.
Right.
There are companies that will give you all the sequencing of the junk DNA. And as we learn more, undoubtedly, we're going to learn that a lot of that junk DNA, yeah, is not junk DNA. And thank goodness I had that sequenced,
yeah,
way back in 2018, because now I can find out a lot of useful information about that. So what does it actually mean? What is the medical information that you're giving away? The truth is, we don't really know,
yeah,
because we're not sure what a lot of this stuff means,
yeah,
at the moment. Or even what we think it means now may not be the truth. And as we gather more data, we might realize that what we said was the case in 2018 is actually not the case in 2030.
Mike, let's take a break there. And when we come back, I want to talk about where this is going next.
Cool.
And we're back on the Health Happens podcast. Mike, I got both intros tonight.
You did?
Yeah.
I'm just going to interrupt you then and say, hey, thanks for listening, and check out the website, hhpcast.com. Check us out on Twitter.
Getting better by the day.
I believe we definitely have Instagram now, yep, because
you had to tell people,
yeah, yeah,
how to do that and share, exactly, our data.
Thank you very much. I did. I'm sharing usernames and passwords through unencrypted emails, which is great. Not very secure, Chris.
I don't even know what encryption is.
No, clearly not. Oh, man.
Oh, man.
The password was just 1234 anyway. So
still is.
It wasn't very secure to begin with. But anyway, you can find us on Twitter. You can find us on Instagram, Facebook. Subscribe to the podcast. Please do. Send us a comment. Give us a rating, all of that wonderful stuff. And send us your questions, because we genuinely care,
yeah,
about your questions and want to answer them for you.
Yes. You know, though, Mike, I think also people don't really email questions as much as they used to. A lot of times it's just at tweeting and things like that. And I think that's why we started to broaden our social media
like
access.
Like sending DMs?
Yeah, direct messages. Yeah. Stuff like that, Mike.
How hip am I?
Not very.
Not very.
No. Okay.
I'll tell you what I am hip to, though, Chris. Genetic testing.
Are you hip to that?
I am now, yeah.
Okay.
Actually, I always have been. You know, my background is, yes, genetics.
I do know that, yeah. No.
Although this sort of stuff was definitely not around when I was in school.
No, no, we were still like thumbs up to Watson and Crick, and let's see what happens next.
Yeah, they're like, did you know it's a double helix?
Double helix. Crazy. I thought for sure it was going to be single.
Yeah.
All right, Mike. We're going to get into some of the exciting places, because there are some exciting and frightening places where this can go.
So many in this discussion.
But I wanted to actually, because I feel like, because we've been researching this, especially you've been researching this week, we're probably a little more primed than some of our listeners are. I want you to tell me a little bit, how do we want to phrase the question? What do I do with the data? What does someone do with their report?
Yeah, well, that's where it becomes potentially even a little bit dangerous, right? If you start getting into, you know, beyond the the for entertainment purposes only, the genealogy, family tree sort of stuff.
Right.
When you start getting into these are your genetic variants, these are the genes that you have, this is your risk profile, you can find out certain stuff about, like, you will do well on this drug versus that drug.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Totally.
I know someone who specifically participated in a genetic study for that, and he got a printout of, you should never take these drugs, maybe take these drugs you're okay with.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
Cool. And okay, so then the question is, okay, let's say you got a printout with that sort of information.
I just do them all.
What do you do with it? Try them, yeah, see how right the lab was? Sure, you could do that. That's one approach, not a wise approach, but it's one approach. But, you know, how much can the average person do with this, right? It's so complicated. And then we get into the discussion of, you know, how accurate is this information in the sense that, you know, your genes are not your destiny. We talk about it being, you know, the blueprint for what makes us us. And that's true.
Yep.
You can't go outside of the blueprint necessarily, but how it plays out over a lifetime is very much up for interpretation in terms of how the body interprets it and how it plays it out, right? It's like a script, but without a director. And then our life is the director, and it tells us which parts to accentuate and which parts not to accentuate. So what can anybody do with that information? I would argue that you probably shouldn't do too much. I don't like to use words like that, but I mean it in this case. You probably shouldn't do much with the information in terms of changing the way you live your life and making important health-related decisions without discussing it with somebody who knows what they're talking about. And that could be, it could be your family doctor. It could be somebody else who's
specialized. It could be a geneticist. I don't know.
Could be.
I don't know who else does this.
I mean, there are doctors out there who are really studying this stuff well, and I think, as you said on our break, they're making a living by just doing this. Like, bring me your test results and I'll help you come up with a perfect meal plan, an exercise plan, and tell you what things to avoid and what things to take more of.
I'm glad you brought this up because I wanted us to touch on this. And this is kind of like, I feel like, I'd like to know your opinion on this. I feel like at this point, we still know so little for sure about this information and how to interpret it for us in our personal lives that building a specific individualized plan may be of low value.
Yeah, yeah. And the truth is only time will tell on that, right? And go ahead.
I want to chuck this part in as well because it's kind of like, you know, we've seen this. We see this all the time, especially in naturopathic medicine. We see fads come and go. And I wonder, you know, is this the new candida? Is this the new SIBO? Is this the new parasite cleanse where it's you show up with this data, you're not feeling well to begin with, you're not feeling well, you show up with this data, practitioner says, oh, okay, I see from this and this and this, you're not good with this and that, therefore let's build this plan that is really just a healthy living plan.
Yeah, maybe, but okay, so I see where you're going with this, and I think the answer to that is, yeah, it could be in certain circumstances. Like there is, I'll go back to the MTHFR stuff, right? Like you could get doctors, and I'm sure they're out there, who look at all their patients through that lens. And they do the genetic testing, and inevitably you're going to find some variants in everybody. And they're going to say, aha, here's the problem, because the MTHFR is highly related to like your energy production and Krebs cycle. So, oh, you're tired? Here's the reason why, right? And it's such an easy catch-all answer that may or may not be the answer to that person, but it's good enough that you can certainly talk to somebody who doesn't know any better and say, if you now take B6 and B12 and this special type of folic acid and SAMe, you're going to be feeling a lot better. So now you've sold a whole bunch of things, right? Because you've shown them that this is your genetics, right? You do have these mutations and now you should do what I tell you to do. And that's going to fix your problems. And in fairness, it does for a whole bunch of people.
I'm borrowing a phrase I took from actually a different podcast that I was listening to. And it was the concept of a thing being true enough.
Yeah.
And I think that fits in the context of this current discussion where you can say, well, this information is true enough that we can make some decisions and probably see good outcomes, even if the link is not as firm as we'd like it to be.
I understand what you're saying, and I agree with that, and I'll talk to that in a second. But what I think that what I'm saying is that you might miss something more important if all you're doing is looking at these specific genetics and even just a subset of the genetics, because it is, you know, the symptoms you could have are just so generalized. And that's what you're getting into, right? The new candida, SIBO, parasite, whatever. Because the symptoms are so general, you can almost see anybody and say, aha, it must be this, and list a whole bunch of symptoms. And they say, yeah, I have that. And then you do an expensive test and it comes back inevitably showing that there's some variance, and they say, well, that must be it.
Yeah. But really, it's just your lifestyle.
Right. But I think what you're getting is more like, okay, let's say you have a risk factor. You have genetic mutations that increases your risk for Parkinson's disease or type 2 diabetes or heart disease.
Yeah.
Right. Well, what do you do with that? And maybe the information we have now is good enough that you can actually make legitimate, well-serving recommendations for somebody to say, hey, you should really start exercising more, making sure that, you know, you stay away from these foods and try to incorporate more of these things, because we know that those help to reduce the risk of this thing that you probably maybe have an increased risk for.
Yeah.
Right. So that is good enough. And I think that's fine.
Yeah.
But what we're likely to find down the road is what we know right now is not as accurate. So if we, and it may just be good enough, but we may say, you know, today we're saying you have a 75% chance of developing this. And 30 years from now we say, oh, turns out actually these genes that we measured were only increased your risk by 40%.
Right.
Is there really a difference there? Does that make the recommendations you made when you thought it was 75% invalid? Not really.
Probably not.
So it's good enough.
Yeah, it's true enough. Yeah, no, I can get behind that. What I find interesting about all of this, oh boy, I mean, there's so much that's interesting about all of this, is really the concept of like, what do you do? If the outcomes are positive, does that mean everything was positive along the way? What do you do with this information? And here's where I wanted to go with this. And I don't want to sound like I'm opposed to any of this. I'm actually very much in favor of refining data. And Mike, you and I can probably both relate. Sometimes you're meeting with someone, a patient, and you look at them and you say, you know, you probably shouldn't have much dairy. And I can think of this kind of subgroup in particular where you look at someone and you think, oh, you know what? I'm not going to name the background, but there is a particular background that I've noticed people with this heritage, it is just they're much more likely to put on weight once they hit around age 28. And in that group, I say to them often, it's going to be more important for you than it is for the average person to eat well and to stay a higher level of physical activity.
Okay.
And where I'm going with that is to say, you can probably look at someone and make some of those claims. When we gather increasingly refined genetic data, we can probably say, and here's why, because this part of your ancestry predisposes you to this pattern of metabolism.
Yeah, I think it's a much better level of evidence than, you know, what you're talking about.
Me observing a pattern?
Or, you know, just doing a basic family history and saying, well, I had three uncles who had skin cancer, so I should put on more sunblock than the average person.
Yeah.
Is that true? Maybe, maybe not. I don't know.
Here's the question, though, that I like to... Here's a question that I come across. I've touched on this theme several times about testing in general. How often do we really need to test something in order to be able to provide resolution in many cases?
But that's not what this is about.
I know.
This is not about providing resolution. This is about learning what is otherwise unknowable, because you can't get to that level.
But if it is irrelevant but knowable, is there value in knowing it?
If it's irrelevant, then no.
So, like, let's, yeah, okay, yeah. So I guess that's kind of what I'm suggesting is, if you're getting a bunch of data, but some of that data turns out it's not relevant to your health, although maybe it scares you into thinking it is, are you better off just not to know that?
Yeah, I think so.
You think you are better off not to know it?
If it's not relevant and it's a false scare, yeah, of course you're better not being scared into doing something that has no impact. And again, this is the caveat that we just don't know a whole lot right now. We still are in the infancy of learning about this. So you know, be careful what you do with that. And that's, again, that's why I think that you should be going to, if you're going to interpret this and make actual changes to your life and start doing things differently, whether it's taking a different supplement or exercising or eating differently, you should be talking to somebody who knows what the heck they're talking about and helps you decide what's what.
I agree. Mike, I'm going to switch gears now.
Do it.
You ready for this?
I don't know.
You're here's what gears. I think.
How would I know?
Here's what I think all the people, myself included, really want to know.
Okay.
Can this data help me find true love?
Even your true love. No, I don't know.
Well, or
could, I don't think there's like, you can look at genes and say, oh yeah, you two people are soulmates.
Well, I don't know. I mean, this, and I'm using this as the segue to get into the idea of what else is coming down the pipeline here.
Okay.
Like, well, what else can we start to do with this data?
Let's just go and totally hypothetical now.
Yeah.
Right. I'm going way from like, this is, we've had a nice scientific talk
yeah.
to let's indulge Chris in his ridiculous. Okay. So you're asking about, can you find true love? So maybe what they can find is personality traits in your DNA. Right. Mm-hmm. You put those things together and all of a sudden you've got something way better than these online dating profiles.
Yeah.
Right. Where you're answering questions and, you know, creating your own profile. But it's all up to you to be honest and say the right things.
Hey, Mike,
and answer things. Hold on.
No,
Chris,
this is so
I'm
important.
Not finished. No. You can't interrupt me yet.
It was important.
Chris. But maybe what they can do is say genetically you're more likely to behave this way. And if you put enough of those data points together, let's say they get 1,000 of these personality traits that are encoded in your DNA, then you can find a truly compatible person. Not true love necessarily, but increased odds of compatibility. How's that?
Yeah, I think that's probably accurate. This is actually...
It's not accurate. It's total. I'm making it up and pulling
you
it
are,
up.
But I actually suspect. I mean, we know this. We know
sure.
We know part
it
of the attraction...
sounds good, doesn't it?
And that's really all we care about is does it feel good? But... part of attraction is related to things that we sense in others, and we think some of that attraction is related to differing immune systems, differing genetic factors that make the viability of offspring more likely.
But how much of that is actually related to what's coded in your DNA, Chris?
We don't know, but that's the answer.
Okay,
I don't
we
know.
We don't know the answer
but
to
it
that.
But it could be quite a bit.
It could be almost nothing.
We don't know, but could...
I would suggest it's much more likely to have to do with environment and other non-genetic or epigenetic factors rather than what's actually coded in your blueprint.
I don't know the answer to that. The important question that you wouldn't let me ask is this. Do you think dating profiles are going to start to include your genetic testing?
Oh, maybe.
Yeah.
That would
Why
be
not?
A logical extension of
yeah.
this. I wouldn't be surprised if one of these or several of these sites joined up with a dating site and combined
totally.
Forces. Yeah, of course.
Because it's just smart marketing.
It is. And if I may... take it in a little bit of a further direction, Chris. There are some companies out there that will allow you to take two DNA samples and put them
yep.
together and say, not this is what you and you look like individually, but if you had offspring together,
yeah.
this is what it would look like. And this is the profile for that possible future child.
Well, and you know,
that's
here,
crazy.
It is crazy. And this is where we're going down the next step, because there's no doubt that this research, even the most ethical scientists who really are performing it, there are, for every ethical scientist, and we all know there's an evil scientist. We know it's one-to-one, and we know that happens right now.
I'll disagree, but okay, let's play this game.
But, I mean, one of the first places this is going to go really is going to get us into, all right, well, what are the likelihood of this in the offspring? If we can study our DNA and the partner's DNA increasingly thoroughly, what's the likelihood? And here...
Well, I mean, they're already doing that to a certain level with
yep.
with genetic counseling,
yep.
right?
Exactly.
And that's not what we're talking about here today,
no.
right? Like, there's this, I should say this, there's a whole other subset of genetic testing, which is like much better accepted. And they're looking for very specific genes in those cases that are associated with certain diseases like cystic fibrosis and Huntington's and all of that stuff.
And that's the part we can all agree is worthwhile science and important.
Of course.
What about when we get specific genes or clusters of genes? We can even bring epigenetic observations in there. What about when we get those more associated with attractiveness and physical performance and intelligence?
Well, they actually can give you physical performance right now. Yeah. In fact, I think some of the cheapest, least expensive tests out there are giving you information about like your fast twitch muscle and slow, like things like that. That'll tell you, you know, you're better suited to be a football player or a short track speed skater.
Yeah. So many people get that one.
But I mean, they can do that. And then what you do with that, I don't know, what do you do with that information, Chris? I mean, are you looking for another short track speed skater to find true love? I don't know.
Yes.
Yeah, really? I don't know.
What if you got a note after you send in your sample? What if they sent you a message back and said, hey, look, we've been doing some research on the side and we've found that.
Okay. First of all, that's never going to happen, but go ahead.
We've found that there is a high correlation between this type of DNA and this type of DNA and true love. And we found the perfect partner for you. I know you're pretty happy with your wife. We got her samples as well. But look, we assessed her DNA and this other person's, and we think it's a perfect match.
She's a better match for
you? We think she's a better match for you.
What's the question? What do you do?
And here's her phone number.
This is a ridiculous question. I can't answer that.
Yeah. Oh, he can't. He buckles under the ethical challenge.
It's not an ethical question.
Listen, we know it's Alex so doesn't ridiculous. Listen to the podcast. You can be honest here, Mike.
She doesn't listen to the podcast.
See,
sadly.
This other person would. She would not miss an episode.
That's awesome. Actually, if they could find me somebody who, I mean, it's so out there that it's impossible. Like they would be shut down in 2 seconds.
Oh, sure.
As a company, right?
I mean,
like,
I'm talking,
can't do that.
I'm talking about the stuff of science fiction, sure. But how far off of that science fiction are we?
That pretty far off. Yes, that sort of stuff.
And what would you do personally?
Delete the email because it's absolute nonsense.
No, first you would show it to Alex and say, Alex, look, we're going to sue this company.
Right.
And there's no way any email would ever shake my faith in her true love.
That's good. That's what I should do.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. I could win some brownie points.
To say the least, yes.
Oh, there you go.
All right. And then you could give her a hard time because she was the one who coerced you to send a sample in.
Yeah.
See what you get.
And then for the rest of our relationship, talk about that hypothetical person out there.
Oh, yeah. Susie wouldn't have made me do this.
Yeah. Susie never makes me do the dishes.
She's my perfect
mate.
All right,
let's stop now before I get in trouble. Because she may not listen, but I know people that she talks to on a regular basis listen.
All right. Where else? I mean, okay, let's actually get back to some science here.
Okay.
Where else do you think this is going?
I think there's so much potential to this. So much potential. Like beyond the for entertainment purposes. If as we learn more and more about genes, what they do, and especially all the other areas of our DNA that are not genes, but, you know, upregulate and downregulate and, you know, all of that awesome stuff that we just know so little about right now.
Yep.
That's where I think it starts to get really, really, really exciting. And potentially you could have a profile that is actually pretty accurate in terms of your blueprint, your potential.
Yeah.
Anyway. But on the other hand, it's so much more than that. And I think the more we study genetics, the more we realize that so much is out of the hands of genetics itself. Like even, I have to go back to this, but what about the microbiome, Chris? Like, is the interaction between our genetics and the microbiome that we have?
And the other way
around. Does our genetics influence the microbiome? Do you have a certain microbiome because you're genetically predisposed to having these things there because of you're expressing more of certain receptors or certain glycoproteins or whatever, right? And that's maybe that is the case, right? So, but then as you start to put these things together, because the future is obviously microbiome testing as well.
Oh, that's already there. It's already here.
Yeah, I mean, to a certain degree. But if you can put that together with genetic profiling, and there are some companies that are starting to do this, right? They're combining all of the diagnostic procedures that we have out there, all the diagnostic potential. So, you know, you get like a full body PET scan or an MRI, and then you get your genetic testing done, and then you get your microbiome testing and a whole bunch of, you know, standard blood tests too, and a physical exam. They put it all together, and then, you know, for like $30,000, here's everything, you, right? Yeah. Like, this is truly who you are. And that's now in 2018, right? Yeah. And imagine what it's going to be 20 years from now, right? Yeah. So much more. And they probably will be able to give you good information once we understand the interactions between the genome and all the other factors. And it's really about understanding those other factors.
Yeah, I wonder how far we'll get. I mean, we really are the ultimate robot, because we've got a blueprint, we've got guidance, we've got so many different feedback mechanisms that can almost rewrite themselves. You know how like the Transformers could repair themselves in real time?
Yeah.
We can do that too, Mike.
Of course you can.
So I don't know. It's fascinating. But then also like that scenario you just described, where you pay a huge amount of money for a personal concierge to run every test. And people already do this for sure. Mm-hmm. And then what do you do with that? Is it of real value?
Well, at that point, you would have a doctor on board who's going to explain all these things to you and put it together.
You've probably got a private doctor. I mean, lots of people have private
doctors. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, it would be a private thing. This would not be, you know, under the OHIP system.
No, our government funding isn't going to cover that?
I don't think so.
It's crazy, the idea that some people have personal doctors.
Yeah.
Like one doctor all to yourself.
Well, I mean, only the super rich have that, but yes, in theory you could. The potential is there. And if you do have somebody who knows you that well and all these aspects of you and is educated enough to understand all those aspects too, you might need a team of doctors to come together, like somebody who would understand the radiology side and somebody who would understand the genetics and microbiome. But if you had a specialist who was really good at putting all those things together and determining what it means, then maybe you're really onto something.
I do wonder. I mean, I love that science moves in the direction of deepening our understanding. And I love that even we've moved away from the compartmentalization into these things are so intimate that it's almost impossible to know until we watch them play out real time in an individual. But I also do, like, I wonder, how much do we really need them? If we lost all of our diagnostic testing and ability, could we still practice medicine?
Of course we could.
I think we could still do a very, very good job of it.
But the flip side of that is, I mean, you know, every advance that we've made allows us to understand more, right? Yes. And understand at a different level. Sometimes it's, you know, being more reductionist, but sometimes it's being more holistic.
Absolutely.
As well.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's really, really cool. So how much, you don't need them, but they allow you to do things that you wouldn't otherwise be able to do, right? Like X-rays, for example, right? I mean, that obviously allows us to see stuff that we never could see before.
Well, dolphins could see that.
Yeah, but they have X-ray vision, or sonar anyway.
Yeah.
I forgot where I was going with that, Chris.
Yeah, you got sidetracked with the dolphins and the ultrasound.
Yeah, I started thinking
about it. It'd be cool if they could shoot X-rays too, but
they can't.
No, I don't think any animal can shoot X-rays. Mm-hmm. You never know. There's some crazy stuff at the bottom of the ocean.
That's true. Like the extremophiles and such.
Is that what we call them? The extremophiles?
Yep.
Nice. I didn't know that. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I want to be one of those.
You're not. You can't. You can't be because you're warm-blooded. But
that's true.
I think where it's really going, at least in the immediate future, is you're going to see these companies start pairing with probably other companies that offer complementary services like a dating site, right? That's not really what I was thinking, but like a diet.
Well, I mean, I think let's take it to where it's already going, like a health insurance company.
Sure, health insurance.
Yes.
Yeah, but that gets into the privacy stuff, and you can remove that aspect if you want, right? So I don't even want to go there. I want to say just if you wanted to be still totally anonymous,
okay,
and still get the maximum information, the maximum benefit, you could potentially have this paired up with, you know, somebody who's going to, you know, even just a group of dietitians, and they'll say, okay, based on this, now you can have this meal plan, and now they can sell you a bunch of supplements and recommend a whole bunch of things and come up with this really comprehensive wellness plan for you. Yeah. I think that's probably the next step of this.
Yeah. I mean, that was already there. On the sample reports I looked at from 23andMe, they said you are, you know, based on your gene, you share, it was interesting how it was phrased. with people who share similar clusters of genetics are 9% more likely to be overweight. Mm-hmm. Therefore, you may wish to do 9% more than the average person to stay at a healthy weight.
Sure. That's not really what I'm talking about, though. I'm talking about like actual pairing with a company that says, okay, you're 9% mm-hmm. more likely to be overweight. Here's a meal plan, and we will deliver this to your door, pre-made meals every day.
Oh, you want to go that far. Yeah.
That's really where I think it's going to go. Love that. That sort of service, right? And a lot of people would love that. Yeah. I wouldn't, but a lot of people would love that.
You wouldn't
that.
Love meals delivered to your door every day, Mike?
Well, you can get that. Of course you can already. Or even those they send you the ingredients sort of thing.
I used to get those. Yeah, it was great.
Yeah, yeah. Even that sort of thing, right? Where they would customize a box for you based on your genetic profile.
Like, and I will happen for sure. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's really actually ever going to be truly useful, though. We'll find out.
It depends how much we actually know about these genes and how truly they are correlated to certain risk factors. How true that ends up being. And we don't know that.
Yep. Okay. All right, Mike. I feel like there's a lot more we could say here. And I'm really starting to lean into what I think will become a very exciting debate when we talk about what is this data? Can this data be used for? Where are we going next? Should mm-hmm. we be allowing it? Should we be saying, let's hold back? So I'm excited to get into that discussion. I don't think I have any concluding statements tonight. I'm excited about where the research is going. I'm going to remain trepidatious, but I wouldn't say especially conservative on it.
Yeah.
Is that your final comment?
I'm very interested in it. I am more likely now, having done the research, to go to one of these companies
and
try to get some information.
I would say I'm less likely.
Well, because now I know that I can totally protect myself. I mean, I would sign up, obviously, as Chris Pickerel. like, a kit's going to come to your door in about a week, Chris, and you're going to wonder where it's from, and I'll pick it up.
You'll just grab it when you're here. Oh, good, this came.
Yeah, so I mean, I know I can totally do that.
I'm gonna start getting like really weird advertisements for things, and like different products show up. You need this. Oh, there's so many funny things I can't say on air to this.
I'm glad. But yeah, I mean, I know that I can do that now. I know that I can, you know, tell them to destroy my data at any point if I want. Like all these things, I can do that. So that takes away a lot of the hesitation that I had. I am curious enough that I would like to know this information and maybe even have it for a future time where they could do more with it later and tell me more information than they can today. At least if I've already done it.
Okay, that's fine. Yeah, I would say I don't think I was going to do it before, but I would say I'm even less likely to do it now.
In the opposite direction.
But not out of anything like, the data privacy is not really a thing for me. We'll talk about that. It should be, but it's not really.
Okay.
And it's more just I feel like the value I'd get now would probably... So here's the thing. If I really wanted to know something, the longer I wait, the better results I'm going to get.
Sure.
So unless
but
I was
if
just
they already
curious,
have your genetic information on file, they can just, I assume...
I guess they could just mine it again.
That's what I mean, yeah.
Yeah, I suppose that's probably true. But if it's as easy as providing a saliva sample, then I could probably just wait and do it.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. Good. Okay. Anything else you want to say for today, Mike, before we take it home?
No, that was a lot of fun today, Chris. I really enjoyed this.
Yeah, I know. I could tell. You got excited about this.
Once in a while. I get really excited about our topics.
Most of the time, but...
Well, I mean, you're always talking about feelings. And, you know, you probably heard me drop when you started talking about true love.
You got a little uncomfortable there, though, for you.
you made it personal, Chris.
All right, Mike.
All right. Well, thanks for listening to another episode of the Health Happens podcast. You can find us at hhpcast.com. Find us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts and listen to them. You can subscribe. You can send us a comment. Give us a rating. Find us on all the social media outlets at HHPcast. Until next time, my name is Mike Frasina, and that's Chris Pickerel.
See you later.